If you have your Bible, I'm going to bounce around this morning. You can try to follow. The stuff will be on the screen. But if you're taking notes, you can take notes. We're in a series called Back to the Basics. And this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about our church and how we got started and kind of what we believe. And we're moving towards to a big kickoff, Back to Church Sunday in September. And just kind of a refresher of why we do what we do, who we believe that we are and who we say we are and how we live our lives. And so just a little bit of backstory I like to give folks. In 2003, myself, Adam, a couple of our youth minister friends, we were all in a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called Catalyst. Some of you might have heard of that. We were there, and we went back after service one night, and we went down to the pool, and we were just sitting around chatting, and everybody was talking, and we just started talking about, hey, man, wouldn't it be cool to start a church one day? And we were all just kind of just talking out loud. And when we left that conference, we all went our different ways. Everybody was living in different cities, and we went our different ways. And so for 2 years, literally, from that conference, that's all I could think about. And I felt like God was calling us to start a church here in Panama City. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was a youth minister. Things was going great. We had a great youth program, a great just ministry was happening. And I used to tell God this, God, I don't even like adults. I did. I would pray that in my prayers. Like, God, I'm youth minister for life, God. You know, kids keep you young and vibrant, and adults are mean, and they say nasty things to you, and, you know, I don't even want to work with them, you know. And I made all these excuses for about 2 years, and I argued with God, and we wrestled back and forth about it. And finally, one of the things that God impressed on me one day sitting in service, he said, I want you to look around. He said, where's everyone your age? And I looked around, and at that time, my wife and I and one other couple were our only two couples in the church that were in our 30s. And the Lord began to impress on me about reaching people our age and reaching the next generation. And you hear us talk a lot about if we don't reach people by the time, while they're children, if we don't reach them by the time they're 12 years old, and much less 18, the studies tell us that 97% chance that they'll never come to believe in Jesus Christ if we don't reach them before those ages. And so the Lord impressed on me about where all the people with children, where are they? And so we begin to pray, and here we are. In 2007, we held three preview services, and then here we are 12 years later, still meeting, still loving people, still doing what we do every Sunday and pulling things off with a group of volunteers for the most part and three part-time people. So we're excited about why we're here. And so that is the question. Why are we here? Why do we do what we do? I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with eternity. Anybody besides Ivan? And I'm concerned with my neighbor's eternity, and I'm concerned with my coworker's eternity, and I'm concerned with my family's eternity. And that's why we're here, because if we really believe what we say we believe as Christians, then we should all be concerned with eternity for other people. So if you see our mission this morning, they threw it up on the screen a minute ago. The mission of Bayside Church is leading people to life change through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know you said, well, that's broad. Yes, it's broad, because life change means a lot of things. For some people, life change means I quit cheating on my taxes and I'm honest and I start being the person that God's called me to be. For other people, that means walking away from addiction and a life of addiction. And it means something different for all of us. Life change is different for every single person in this room. But we believe that the only way to really experience the change in life that all of us need to experience is through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to just go over a couple of areas this morning of things that we believe, and Adam's going to do a couple next week, and then we'll wrap it up on the third week. But the first thing is that we believe one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created all things, and all these things are on our webpage if you'd like to see them. All that stuff's there. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and now seats at the right hand of God. And we believe that the entire Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And I want to start with that this morning. Has anyone ever heard of the term absolute truths? Does anyone know that we live in a world that there's no such thing? The world tells us this morning that there is no absolute truth, that truth to you can be whatever you want it to be, and truth to me can be whatever I want it to be. And we see people living that out day in and day out. And I will tell you that that is part of the downfall of society as a whole, that there's no firm foundation, there's no solid rock that people are building their lives upon. and that people are doing craziness every day because they're missing something in their hearts. They're missing this relationship with Jesus Christ. They're missing a connection, not only with Jesus Christ, but also with other believers. They're missing that connection. And we base this morning what we believe on entirely on the Word of God. Entirely, completely, wholly. Now listen, how many of you have ever read something in Scripture? I'm looking for my honest people this morning. You've read something and you're like, man, there's no way that can be true. I'm going to raise my hand this morning. I've read it. And I'm like, hold on now, you want me to do what? You want me to suffer? Whoa, hold on. I thought it was like serving Christ was like rainbows and blessings and, you know, prosperity, right? That's what the guy on TV said, right? And then we start reading about perseverance and suffering and being like-minded with Christ. And we're like, I don't know that this is what I signed up for. I don't know if any of you have ever had those moments. And it could be lots of things in the Bible that you read and you find inside of you like something's going like this and it's opposition. And all of us have probably experienced that. But we believe this morning that the Bible as a whole speaks to us. So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to just read a couple things to you this morning. This is 14 through 17. It says, "But as for you, continue what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are capable to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now I want to start in that first scripture, or verse 15. It says, how from infancy you've known the Scriptures. Now that's speaking of two things. Number one, parents, whose job is it to teach children the Bible? Thank you. I know someone in the back's thinking, yours, right? I know that's, you know, the youth director, right? Children's church, whatever. And that is a part of supporting it. But listen, it's your job as a parent to teach your kids Scripture. It's your job to sit down with them and go over it. This is also talking about our spiritual infancy. That we weren't always mature in our faith. And as we grow and as we learn the Bible and as we mature, that we've known it since our infancy. But it's parents' jobs and family members' jobs, and it's the church's job to equip you to be able to teach that. It's our job to teach you so that you can go home and teach your children. It's also a part of the children learning as they sit in our services and are part of the activities, the things, the ministries that we offer for them. But it's parents' jobs. It's families' jobs. So looking at us, as we believe in the power of the Word. The power of the Word. Listen, this is not just a book that we just read. There's power that comes from the Word of God. I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I've read certain passages over and over and over. And in different points in my life, all of a sudden, it's like that passage comes alive and steps off the page and slaps me right across the face. Anybody ever had a moment like that? It's like it was talking directly to me exactly what was going on in my life. And it's like it jumped out and grabbed hold of me and like, this is for you. And then there's other times I've read things and I've read it and read it and read it and read it. And it took years down the road for it to click and for me to truly understand. But we believe that there's power in the Word of God. Now, I know some of us sit around and there's like all kinds of debates. Well, the Bible was written by men. No, the Bible was recorded by men. The Bible was accounted for by men. The Bible was given by God. The Bible was spiritually spoken to men by God, and men recorded what God wanted them to record. And so we just read this purpose. It said the purpose of Scripture is to teach, rebuke, correct, and to train. Now, I'll be honest with you. Here's some problems in here. How many of you love being rebuked? You ever been rebuked? Oh, that's good times, isn't it? Your boss calls you in and sits you down and says, I rebuke that action you had last week. Yeah, he probably didn't use that term, right? And that's where you go, rebuke you, Satan, right? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that to your boss. Don't do that. I'm kidding. Don't jump up and do that. He probably won't like that, right? But we don't like to be rebuked. How many times have you been corrected? Oh, I'm 22 years into marriage. And when my wife speaks to me and says, Ivan, this is something you need to work on. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? I need to work on something, right? Oh, I'm the only one. God, yeah, right. Okay, got it. We don't like to be corrected. We love the part of teaching and training, right? Teach me, train me, but don't rebuke me and don't correct me. See, it's hard. It's hard sometimes for us to take a hard word. And sometimes the word is hard. So this morning, I want us to think about a few things this morning. On a regular basis, we need to evaluate our beliefs. We need to compare of what we think to what the Bible says. We need to compare our opinions to what the scriptures say. And I'm just going to read this. If a belief comes from anywhere other than scripture, it's just opinion or false teaching. If a belief you have comes from anywhere other than scripture, it's just opinion or false teaching. And that's hard this morning. That's hard because sometimes I know so many of you in this room love to win arguments. You like to be right. You want to be right every time. You want to come out on top every time. And that's not what this is about. See, the Bible addresses every circumstance and every situation that you'll ever face in life, either directly or indirectly. Everything you'll ever face. And we believe that the Word of God is true and accurate. We should line up our lives with that. Listen to John 8, 31 through 32. Most of you probably already know this. This one part says, to the Jews who believed in Jesus, said, if you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples, then you'll know the truth. And what? Let's do this again. And then what? The truth will set you free. If you know the truth. But see, the truth isn't what I put together in here and in here. The truth is what God has given us in his word. Knowing the truth will be the only knowledge that will truly set us free to live out God's plan. To truly be set free, to become everything that God wants us to be. Listen, there's so many falsehoods in the world. There's so many falsehoods. Like the number one that, oh, there's many paths to heaven. Really? Because that's not what the scriptures say. Oh, there's many paths. You know, you do it your way, and I'll do it my way, and we're all going to the same place. We're all worshiping the same God. Has anyone ever heard that before? It's the same God. You just worship it a different way. You may call it something different, but it's the same God. That's not what scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that there's one God, God the Father, and he's in three persons, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's one God, and there's one path to meeting him for eternity. But listen, that doesn't mean this morning that we don't have questions. I have questions. If you've been around Bayside very long, you know I have a running list of questions that I want to ask God. I want to talk to characters in the Bible. I want to ask him what it was like to be there in that moment. I want to ask God, when we pray every time, why weren't they healed? God, when we laid hands on them, why weren't they healed? God, when this struggle was happening, God, why didn't you just snap your fingers and fix it? I have lots of questions. God has the answers. But we trust God with our questions. Let me say this to you this morning. There's no question you have too big for God. No question. You're not going to offend God by saying, God, this is how I feel right now. Because listen, God already knows how you feel. He already knows what you're thinking. And what he wants is you to bring it to him and express it to him and let him help you walk through it. We express our belief in the word of God this morning by studying and learning the word, by faithfully studying, by staying in it. And then we do it by living it out, becoming the hands and feet of Jesus. And the second part of that this morning is that we look for the Holy Spirit to reveal himself in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16 says this. Verse 9, however it is written, no eye has seen, nor ears heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by a spirit. The spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not with words taught with us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. But they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, if you're a believer this morning, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And the Spirit will reveal to you the plans and the purposes of God in your life. The scripture just told us, this passage just said, the only way these things are revealed is through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks and through his power. He'll reveal to you. But it works in conjunction. It's not one or the other. It's both. The Spirit reveals to you his plans. The only path to understanding, the only path, the only path to purpose is through the Spirit of God. And we believe in the Spirit of God and the gifts that come along with the Spirit of God. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? Some of you can probably name them. I'm going to read them to you. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. But you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is giving for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are there, the work of one in the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I love this. Is anyone, when you were a kid, anyone ever ask you if you could be a superhero, which one could you be? Who? Somebody, give me what you had. Who would you be? Superman. Good one. Anybody else? That was old. That was way back. So a lot of these people don't even probably know who that one is. All right, awesome. What else? Got any Wonder Woman's in the room? All right, one honest one. Thank you back there. You know, I've often thought about that. If you could have this one power, what would it be? I don't know. So I kind of apply that to like the gifts of the Spirit. If I could pick my gifts of the Spirit, I'm going with miraculous powers all day long. All day. I'm sitting in Starbucks and blowing people's minds in the morning. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be awesome. Miraculous powers all day long. I'm just being funny this morning. I mean, I would do that if I could, but I mean. But the Lord speaks to us in different ways and everybody has different gifts. And one of the gifts that I feel like God is poured out in my life is the gift of discernment. And a lot of times, like when things are happening, like the Lord gives me the ability to discern what's going on that moment. Or if someone's telling me something, I can look at them and go, that is completely not true, just like that. It's like I can just see right through it. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, we had a gentleman visit our church in our old facility when it was still standing. And we were there on the Sunday morning. He was demanding to speak to the pastor. And as soon as I walked up to him, he told me that he was here for surgery and that that he needed a room for the night and he needed us to help him. And so I just asked him, I said, well, what kind of surgery are you here for? He said, well, I'm here to have my leg removed. And I said, you're here to have your leg removed. But it was funny because he walked in the door on those two legs, right? I mean, if you're generally going to have a leg removed, they're probably not working correctly that you could walk, correct? And so that wasn't the discernment part. That was just the obvious part, right? So you don't have to have a spiritual gift to realize that's probably not true. And so then he took it to the next level. He told me that he was here and having it done at the VA hospital. Well, how many of you know about our VA hospital? Did they do surgery there? No, exactly, right? That wasn't discernment either. That was just, I know that the VA hospital doesn't do that. And he just began to talk and all this stuff, and he starts sharing, and he wants to share with us. And so finally, I just cut him off. I said, listen, man, what do you really want? And I said, I know you're not here for any of those things. What do you really want? And what he wanted was me to pay for him a hotel for that night. And he wanted some food. And so we blessed him with some food and we sent him on his way. But the Lord gives us discernment in certain situations. The Lord speaks to us in gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift of prophecy, all these things. And I want to tell you, at Bayside Church, we believe in these things. And I know when people start talking about speaking in tongues, we all get all upset, and people start talking about prophecy. Sometimes we get nervous, but I want to share this statement with you. I've never been anywhere that the Holy Spirit was moving in power that I wasn't fully aware that it was the Holy Spirit moving in power. Because God is not a God of chaos. God doesn't cause us to be afraid and to sit here and go, oh, what was that? Now, we may have questions about what happened, but in our spirit, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and the Holy Spirit will act in order. And then you won't have to question, hey, was that God? Was that God? You won't have to question. You'll know that it was the Holy Spirit moving. The gifts of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, all these things, we believe in those things. And we also believe that God operates in order. The Holy Spirit will also correct and remind us. Anybody ever heard someone say, oh, that was your conscience? Anybody ever said that? Oh, that's probably some teachers in the room looked at kids and went, oh, that was your conscience talking to you right now. You probably shouldn't have done that, right? Or you had parents that would pull that one on you. That was your conscience. No, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but in my younger days, man, I had a mouth that used to say things that were not pleasant. And I can remember when I really became a believer in Jesus Christ and was trying to live as a Christian, I was struggling so hard with my language. It was so hard. And I remember that right before, man, I would fire things off, I started having this, like, check. I'd be like, okay, you probably shouldn't say that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like a little check. You probably shouldn't say that. And you know what? It took me a long time to mature to listen to that check, right? And it helped me with my language. It helped me think about things. And that's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you about these situations and trying to help you improve. There's other areas in my life. There was a period that the Lord told me about getting up at 5 a.m. I kid y'all not. I would wake up at 4:45 every day, and I'd hear that voice, get up and pray. Get up and pray. That check, get up and pray. It's not your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. It's a quickening inside that directs us to do something or not to do something as the Holy Spirit teaches us. And I pray this morning that you'll ask God to reveal that in you. One of the things you can do today, you want to get closer to God, you want to know more about the truth, more about the word. Well, first of all, get in the word and then ask God, God, what is going on in my life that doesn't please you? What is going on in my life, God, that does not please you? And I guarantee if you ask the question, he's going to give an answer. Because you already know right off the bat. If you spend too much time on the computer, or you spend too much time watching TV, or you spend too much time just wasting time that you could spend doing something for the kingdom or studying or working or learning and growing, God will reveal it to you if you ask. And the last this morning is the word and the spirit always agree. I've had people come in and tell me this before. Man, the spirit spoke to me and they say this, that, and the other. And I'd say, well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, that doesn't matter because the spirit spoke to me. No, that does matter. Because the Spirit will never speak anything to you that is contrary to the Word of God. Ever. Ever. It will not happen. People, oh, well, that, no, 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 no. See, God does not change His Word. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't think about things for a couple of thousand years and then go, oh, you know what, I'm going to change up on that. It doesn't work that way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Any beliefs this morning that you hold that are contrary to Scripture is not from God. You should ask God to search you and know you about that. Where are my emotional people? Who will be honest? Thank you. You want to see Ivan cry? Get out babies. That's the man. Babies made me cry. It's hard for me to do baby dedications because I want to cry with the parents. Because like, oh, I love a baby, right? I love a baby. As long as they're yours. Amen? Excellent. But I do. I mean, it's something about a baby. It's like life. And man, it just makes your eyes well up. And just thinking about, I was going back cleaning out one of my computers this week and found some pictures of our family. And I was going back and looking at Haley when Haley was so little and what she was when she was little. And then Taylor and just the baby pictures. And we're just looking at them. And you're like, oh, reminiscent. And I'm sitting over the computer. I'm like, these are beautiful. You know, you just start getting all, you know, wound up about it, you know. It's wild. But emotions, listen, sometimes it's just that. It's just an emotion. It's not God. It's just an emotion. We have to learn to separate those things. If you believe the Spirit of God is speaking to you and it doesn't line up with His written word, and here's a very correct grammar statement. If it doesn't, then it isn't. You can write that one down. If it doesn't, then it isn't. And that's hard for us sometimes because we're emotional. So I want to wrap up this morning with this, is that we believe in the power of love. Not the Huey Lewis in the news, Power of Love, even though that's a great little tune. But we believe in the power of love. That love changes people. Listen, we were talking in our jobs this past week about some differences that we can make. And for all you educators out there, we were discussing suspending people and how there's some kids you can just suspend and suspend and suspend. And like in our own families, if you were a disciplinarian like our family was, my dad loved to spank people. He was well versed in it, all right? And you know what? Sometimes you can just spank them and spank them and spank them. But if you get the same results, is it working? No, it's not. And sometimes we have to take a different approach. And I want to tell you this morning that when we take a different approach and we start loving people, that's when we'll see things change. You got a next door neighbor that has been driving you crazy for 10 years? Try loving them. Make them some brownies. Walk out of the fence. When they're home, be standing there waiting. When they come and say, you know what, man? We haven't talked in a while because the last time we were screaming profanities at each other, but that's okay. I just want to, let's start over. Here's some brownies. And I didn't put anything in them. Seriously, just try and take them. Take them, right? Try something different. Listen, if what you're doing is not working, try something different, right? Listen, a little love goes a long way. Love changes people. Reaching to people in love changes situations. Love breaks down barriers. Listen, a little love goes a long way. You're struggling in your relationship? Try loving that person more than you love yourself. Maybe that barrier might be removed. Maybe there might be so much frustration. Listen, love soothes over bitterness. Some of you sitting in this room had things happen to you. Man, you're 40 years old and you've been carrying it for 3 decades. And it's time to let love cover over that. Love cover over it. Love cover over it. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and give it to him. Listen, love replaces anger. You really want to see things around you change? Start being a person of love and expressing and exuding love. Telling people that you appreciate them. If you're a boss, tell your employees that you appreciate them. If you're a coworker, walk down the hall tomorrow morning. Just go from every desk and say, hey, before we get started this morning, I was just thinking about this weekend. And I want you to know what a great job you do. And I just appreciate getting the opportunity to work with you. Listen, it'll blow their minds, number one. And number two, it'll set the tone of what your day and your week's going to be like. Every time. Every time. Love changes things. We believe in expressing love here at Bayside Church. We believe in loving our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. And we believe in loving strangers, complete strangers, standing on the bread aisle in Winn-Dixie or at the gas station at Sam's or wherever you may be, reaching to strangers in love for a chance to tell them about Jesus and make a difference in their lives right where they are. So here at Bayside Church this morning, we believe in life change. And that life change comes through a relationship with Jesus. So, man, I want you to be thinking about this week. Man, what can I do to see life change? What areas of my life do I need to change? That's the first place to start. And the second thing is, what can I do at my job this week? What can I do at my home, my neighborhood, my own family to see a change in a situation that's went sour, a situation that's difficult, if I follow these things and ask God to work through me in it? Amen. Let's pray together this morning.